Good morning, family. Welcome to another episode of Inside the Armor. I'm your co-host, Big Brother Boone, and I'm joined by my principled, purposeful partners in podcast prosperity,
Joe,
Russ.
And collectively, our mantra is iron sharpening iron, one podcast at a time.
Yes, sir.
So, fellas, forgive me if I talk too long, but
right.
You like that, right?
I did like that. I do.
All right. So we're going to talk about forgiveness, right?
Yes.
We are going to talk about that with intensity because we all need it and we all need to give it.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, Russ, you brought this to the table, man.
I did.
On your heart, man. And we need to know what is going on, bro.
So, you know, it's funny, man. It was, I think part of it was, you know, doing my, looking at myself, taking inventory of my life, things I need to do. And then the second part was looking at a lot of this stuff in the media, you know, anything negative from, you know, murdering, you know, people, you know, being mad at each other, racial tension, all this stuff, man. And I just started, you know, I know we're going to go down this rabbit hole, but I just started thinking about forgiveness. And I just saw how powerful forgiveness was. And as I started looking, you know, looking at it and just, again, going down that rabbit hole, I said, oh, man, this thing right here could be three podcasts, right? Because there's so much information and it's such a big topic. But yet I think it's worthwhile to be dissected. And so I know I came up with the title forgiveness. I think starting there, if I transcend, if I transgress against someone, you know, part of me would say, you know, they'll get over it, you know, if I wanted to be selfish about it. But anyway, I'm going on too much. But that's sort of how the topic came out. Just the fact that it's such a big topic and I think it's worthwhile to be discussed.
I agree. Because just going by what you were just saying, you know, I could see how easy it is because I've been there. And I'm still there at times where I'm like, they'll get over it, but emotional equity. I'm going to not give any emotional equity to you know, how this person feels because they've hurt my feelings. So I'm not going to forgive them, blah, blah, blah. But,
right.
You know, that puts me in a really bad place without even realizing it. It puts me in a bad place to receive unforgiveness of my own. So that's huge right there, man.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So I'm listening to you, brothers, and I'm like, you know, My issue, my biggest issue is trying not to keep score.
Hmm.
And you know, when God forgives us, we have a clean slate. But when you're keeping score, it's a whole different beast. And forgiveness can take you to the bar, fellas.
Yeah.
Bitterness, anger, and resentment.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. I agree there. It's interesting. When I was looking it up, I looked it up and I looked at the consequences of unforgiveness, which I thought was profound. And I wrote them down because I didn't realize there was that many. But to that point, Boone, bitterness was one big one. It talks about stress, blood pressure can go high, anxiety, depression. Yes, they've got studies that, you know, that are out there that are verified studies that will, you know, show that it can lead to pain, anger, hate, hurt, resentment, emotional. Like it was just all this negative stuff.
Rolled up in.
Yeah. It just, and it, you know, cause I know a lot of people, you know, we've talked about this when, you know, you don't forgive your wife for, you know, for say how that thing can fester. It can, as my father taught me at an early marriage age, he says, son, beware of the wedge. He said, if you don't address that unforgiveness, it can turn to a wedge and drive your marriage apart. But, you know, there's so many negative things about unforgiveness. And I was just like, man, like like people that should be like on everyone's tongue every morning. Like, okay, who do I need to forgive? Like, otherwise, you know, you think about the stress and the pain and all the stuff that is coming on me, on you,
right?
Because you didn't forgive someone. So anyway, I know we're gonna get into it, but I think that is key, man.
And as you were going down the list of consequences to, right. to unforgiveness, what happens is the person that has offended you, they sleep like a baby. Sometimes we are up, you know, we're up pacing the floor, like,
oh, man.
You know, how could they do this? How could they do that?
Yeah, yeah.
And they're in Z land.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know there was some time ago, Pastor did a sermon on forgiveness and the consequences of, and then the benefits of forgiving as well. Right.
Yes. You know,
the things that come into your favor. So he was saying, one of the things that he said, and it really resonated with me, was if you don't forgive, then every time, like if you want to give us a particular person about something, every time that person's name comes up, every time that person comes around you, every time that person may say something, it will drive that nail a little deeper in your heart. Right? It'll just dry. It's like the old saying where you run your fingernails down the chalkboard and it just rises up in you. And if you don't forgive, you know, you put yourself in a place where you are always on edge, always on defense, always going through all of these emotional issues that manifest into those physical issues. Like you said, pain and high blood pressure and stress and all of that, all because you are so stubborn. I'm pointing the finger at me.
Yes,
all because I'm so stubborn about not forgiving somebody because I feel like they've offended me and they should be asking for forgiveness.
Right.
Yeah. Forgiveness is really for us, those that feel offended.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, if you keep that stuff bottled up inside, then you have the physiological issues that can occur when you don't let it out. Forgiveness is more or less like a release.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That bitterness piece was big for me, man. Cause you know, you guys know, you know, recently, you know, it happened a couple of years ago and I'll be honest, man, if I'm transparent, for me to forgive the person who I had the issue with, I would, if I had to go back, I would tell you guys, it took me a solid 12 months through the process, praying, meditating, thinking about it. You know, and I just couldn't release it. And so it's real. It is a real battle. You know, if there's that one person that one person at one incident, depending on the incident, it is very painful. And it's a struggle. I feel very clear of it now, but I remember, you know, asking God, how do I get past this thing? And it was just like a daily thing. God said, just take it one day at a time. But even with that, I'm like, okay, but I forgot. I was like, I forgive everybody else. I just can't forgive this one cat. And then when it came to me, God said, no, you got to let that go too. And, you know, I thank God that he's allowed me to get to that point. And I think part of it was, you know, doing that self-reflective thing, man. You pound on it. You pound on your spirit. You pound on your heart long enough. And I do believe if you relent and if you submit your spirit, you know, to the master, I do believe, I'm convinced that he will give you that answer in that time and that ultimate forgiveness. Because if you guys ask me right now, you know, have you forgiven this cat, Russ? I can look you dead in the eye and says, yes, I say, yes, I have. In my spirit, in my heart, there's no more animosity, no more, unforgiveness in that area. And and again, that's for me, right? Because I hold on to that thing, man. That'll stress, high blood pressure, all that stuff. And I don't want none of that. So
I've got a question for you, my brother.
Yes, sir.
Have you reached out to him?
I have not. Okay. No, I have not.
So he does not know that you have forgiven him.
No, he does not. And I talked to one of my mentors about it, and they said, based on his last words to me, you may just want to let the spirit lead you in that direction. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to push it, but I know I knew I needed to be in a place where if I were to see him or he were to call me or so forth, I know I need to be in a position to be able to articulate that I forgive him and that, there wouldn't be any animosity or friction, if you will. Yep. So, I do realize it's interesting you said that, Boone. I did ask him for, I asked him for his forgiveness when it first happened. And I remember it was it was an arrogant answer. And it was such sort of like, it doesn't matter. You're dead to me. That type of thing. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I remember saying to myself, oh, okay. And then I think, it got a little contentious after that, after I said, I forgive you. But at this point where I am now, I'm just going to let it happen organically and, see where the spirit leads us.
So that leads to another good question. Because it sounds to me that because of his answer to your request.
My original.
Yeah. Because he answered you in a certain way, you're like, man, so you basically went right back to where you were. So what is forgiveness?
What is it? I think we talked about this, releasing that person from the trespass, mm-hmm. but truly releasing it and not taking it back on, in my opinion, taking it back on any consistent level. Because if you really forgive somebody, you forgive them and it's gone. And I think we talked about this, you don't forget necessarily, but there is a way to forgive that person and move on.
Yeah.
It's sort of like restoration where you restore that person back to the state that they were in prior to the offense.
Hmm. Prior to the offense. Great point. Yeah.
So yeah. giving them a pardon.
Whew. A pardon. Man. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That giving them a part, man, that's a great answer. Restoring them back to the condition they were before the offense.
Before the offense.
Man, that's hard. That's a hard one to do.
Yes,
but once you do that, like, so for instance, when you ask for forgiveness, Russ, and then he, in so many words, kind of threw it back in your face, like, man, you don't mean, you're dead to me. You know, you're
right.
Like,
yeah.
Hold up, son. You were almost dead to me, but
Hulk came out. Yeah, Hulk, he turned green.
In reality, if you're truly asking for forgiveness, and it may not be something that you have to do with that person, it has to be within your heart, right? So that forgiveness, truly, because you can say the words and not mean it. I mean, that's the reality of it. That's but when true. You truly do it in your heart, then that allows you to hear that back and not react to it, because it's like, but I've truly forgiven you. No matter what you say at this point, it's not going to hurt anymore. Yeah. So one of those things the pastor had mentioned in that talk, in that passage that he was talking about was, once we truly forgive at the heart level,
yes,
then that offense doesn't hurt anymore. You don't forget it.
Yeah.
It's something that actually happened. So you're not going to forget it, but it doesn't hurt. And so if it doesn't hurt, then it's not going to regurgitate those feelings and make you want to react in a certain way. So that's the level that we want to really get to.
Absolutely. And real quick, because Boone, I'm glad you brought that up, Joe, because Boone, and I appreciate you challenging me, Boone, because on the flip side of that, and I don't know if I ever even told you guys this, I had to go to my father, my natural father, and I was 40, call it 45. So this is about 10 years ago, maybe a little more, but I was taking inventory, just like I was telling you guys, you know, I take inventory of my life, and I realized there was something that I had not forgiven my father for, and I held a level of resentment I was holding this thing for 20 something years, y'all. And it was something that dealing with my mother, I won't necessarily go into detail, but I'll just tell you this, that I had animosity towards my father. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, talking to him about it, man. And it was so powerful, guys, because I said, Dad, I said, I forgive you. And I told him what the trespass was. And he goes, son, I had no idea, man. I said, I know you didn't, Dad. I've been holding on to it. You know, I love you, man, but I've been holding on to this thing. And it was just that little thing I just didn't like about you, you know, what you did and how you acted. And he goes, son, I apologize. I really didn't know. And I said, I know, Dad. I said, but I'm releasing you. I'm forgiving you right now because it's more for me, because this little thing, you know, if you put a percentage on it, you're like, Russ, how intense was it? You know, out of 100, call it 10, 20%. But the fact that I'm holding on to this thing, guys, you know, 20 plus years, mm-hmm. I said, I got to release this. So it was for me. And I remember the conversation I had with my dad. It was so, so profound. It was so releasing. And again, his humility at the time, and he apologized. But even if I was prepared that even if he didn't, even if he goes, son, I didn't do that, you know, that type of thing, I was prepared to take it either way. But again, when I said those words, I release you, I forgive you, Dad. It was just mind blowing, but it was life changing for me, because I realized, I had to do it. And I've done that with a few other people in my life since then. Again, I was holding on that for 20 years, but I have done that to a few other people in my life. And this most recent incident, you know, I believe I'm learning from it, and I'm going to have to do it eventually. So Boone, I appreciate that that little jab, man. It wasn't a jab, but that was, you know, you were challenging me, man. So I appreciate that. I really do.
Now, I would not jab an MMA brother. Come on. You would blow that thing away. Come on, bro.
Jab from a distance.
Right.
It's like, stop tickling me, bro.
Yeah, right. I appreciate that. That's all love, man.
I wouldn't do that. I appreciate what you just said relative to your father, man. It's, mm-hmm. you know, and what Joe was saying earlier about the pain, over time, the pain seems to dissipate, if you will, slowly. Right. And it's a process. Mm-hmm. I mean, if something happened to me today, I'm not going to say by the end of the day or even tomorrow that, you know, forgiveness would take root. Right. It's a process. And the deeper the hurt, probably the longer the process it would take to get rid of that thing. So,
that lends another topic that we covered. Are you injured or are you hurt?
Right.
You know, you have to go back and see how important that thing was. Like you said, Russ, if you put it on a scale, it was probably about 10 to 20%.
Right.
But you held that for 20 years.
All right.
And your father didn't even know. Yeah, you know, for him, it was something that he went through, and you never know, behind closed doors, whatever that thing was with your mom, they made up and moved on.
Right.
And you were still stuck.
Yeah.
For years. And we do that often. We will, you know, someone will offend us and we don't let it go, and they didn't even know they've offended us.
Right.
But then we have to do a mirror check and say, how many times have we offended someone?
Right.
And we didn't know.
Good gracious.
And their whole, you know, someone to say, you'll run across somebody and they just will always throw their nose up at you, or they just, you know, don't like you for whatever reason.
Right.
You have no idea. You could have offended that person and you didn't even realize it. And I know there's been many occasions where I've actually approached a person someone, not if it's someone that I care about, and I'm like, you know, have I done something to offend you? Because if I have, please let me apologize and ask for forgiveness, because I don't know what it was. Right. But I don't want this person to be holding a grudge for something that I've done, and I don't even know what I've done, and I want to be able to correct it. So one, correct it with them, and two, so I don't do it again with somebody else.
That's a great,
because I know I can be I can be abrasive at times, and I don't even realize it, just because of, you know, the way I grew up. Mm-hmm. I grew up in some of the things that some of the ways me and my boys used to talk, the ways we used to talk to each other. You become you get a hardened shell,
right?
But you know, you somebody else didn't grow up that way,
right? Right.
They don't know exactly how you're coming across. So anyway,
yeah,
I was not all over that, but I hope that made some kind of sense.
Yeah, no, it did. It did. And taking, because we're talking about personal, and I think at the beginning of when we were talking, guys, you said how the topic come up. I also looked at, you know, we've talked about race a lot, you know, internally. I looked at, you know, the word resentment, like, you know, so I think it's fair to say that there's racial resentment in this country, right? Mm-hmm. And I know this is going to sound a little pie in the sky, but I'm just throwing, this is a hypothetical, guys. If everybody, no matter what your ethnicity is, you know, because I was thinking originally, I thought about the Palestinian and Jewish conflict and how that's been going on for centuries and years. And, you know, the conflict is, you know, they'll kill one person, kill another one because, you know, they took our land or they oppress, you know what I mean? Like, and I know this is, I'm not trying to get too political, but I'm just talking about from a global standpoint. If forgiveness was something that could be handled immediately, there'd be no more strife. There would be no more wars. Things could be settled so quickly, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought about it. I know I think a little differently sometimes, but I say all that to say, the more we learn to forgive people, in particular, people that don't look like us, don't have the same skin color, whose ancestors may have transgressed against us or what have you. Mm-hmm. You can get, there's a lot of healing within that alone. And I believe that is God's ultimate goal, is to have spiritual healing globally. And I know that's a big statement, but I'm just saying, you know, as we talk about it, I think it can transcend just the personal forgiveness, which is important, but globally, it could literally change the, you know, the face of humankind. If forgive me, what we're talking about right now, if that could be embraced in a massive level. And I just believe that's God's goal. And because I think it's spiritual warfare at the simple level. It is spiritual warfare. So
yeah, so you talked about relations between those ethnicities. Mm-hmm. So forgiveness is relational. And even unforgiveness can be generational.
Yes,
believe it or not.
Great point.
I mean, how many times have we've heard situations where Uncle Boo Boo did something back in the day,
right?
And Shaquita's paying for it because there was no forgiveness on the part of Shaquita's mom or something like that.
Okay.
So it's a generational unforgiveness. So with generational unforgiveness, you've got generational bitterness.
Yes.
Generational anger.
Yeah.
Generational resentment. Yep. Everybody's at the bar. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Yeah. Hatfield and McCoy, is that old American feud, if you will. Uh-huh. Anyway, that just came to mind when you were saying that generational, because it lasts a generation. So
that means that some of us were raised at the bar, huh?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So being raised at the bar, you don't know anything different.
Man.
Isn't that right?
Unless you're exposed.
So biblically, you know, God has made it clear. Jesus made it clear biblically, mm-hmm. to say, you know, love God.
Right.
The only one. Mm-hmm. So no other gods before.
Mm-hmm. Preach, preach.
And then he said, love your neighbor as yourself.
Okay.
Two commandments. So mm-hmm. if you love your neighbor as yourself,
right,
then you won't have that unless you just hate yourself. And if you hate yourself, then that's a whole, then you're injured and you need to go get help, professional help. But if you hate, if you love your neighbor as yourself, then you're not going to commit those crimes. You're not going to do that evil towards them. You're not going to steal or kill, destroy, all of those things that comes with the evil that lurks in this world. You're going to love them. You're going to treat them with respect. You're mm-hmm. going to not take the land because you think it's yours, because you know it's not yours. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It's so much forgiveness that comes naturally if you just love your neighbor as yourself.
As yourself, man.
It's one of those commandments that really make you think, like, how in the world can I do that? Because they've wronged me in so many different ways, or
right,
they don't look like me, or you know, Uncle Boo Boo said, when I was coming up, Uncle Boo Boo said, you can't like that person because that person doesn't look like you. They're trying to take something from you.
Man.
Hot man, how do you deal with
it? Boy, that's good right there. Man. And I'm gonna say a praise report right there, because of the way I was raised, and my father taught me clearly about race and the what he always taught me. I guess with Martin Luther King being who he was, and at the time in the 60s, and my dad went to the march. He told me, show me the tree he was under when he watched the sermon. But judge a man by his character. That's probably one of the biggest things my dad taught me. And so I didn't grow up with this resentment towards any ethnicity or anything like that, because of how he taught me. And I'm thanking him for that. Because it could have been opposite, like you were just saying, Joe, and I would have learned from example or what have you, where he said, always judge a man by his character, no matter what he looks like. So, I'm 57. That's what I always do when I look at somebody. I'm trying to get to their spirit immediately. So anyway, I don't have that luggage, but I can see where generationally, like you were saying, Boone, that can be luggage to somebody, man. That have an unforgiveness, a generational unforgiveness. Just because.
I'm about to cue up this jam from back in the day by War. Why Can't We Be Friends? I'm about to cue that up.
Man, why can't, that's a good one.
As we slide into break.
Break, yeah.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? See y'all after the break.
That's it.
Hello and welcome. This is Allison G. Daniels. I am so excited about my podcast, The Author's Lab. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m., where I will be providing powerful tips, tools, and techniques about writing. Hope to see you there.
Hey, what's up, fellas? If you're looking for healthy, thought-provoking conversations on a variety of topics dealing with life issues, be a transparent, open dialogue for men who need a dose of honest, engaging, and heartfelt discussions, tune in to Inside the Armor, airing Mondays at 8 a.m., hosted by
Joe,
Russ,
and yours truly, Boone. We would love to have you vibe with us as we talk about our trials and our triumphs, our messes and our successes. Join us for Inside the Armor Mondays at 8 a.m. Iron sharpening iron, one podcast at a time. All right, so we're back. We're still getting over my brother's rendition of Why Can't We Be Friends? So please forgive me.
Please forgive Joe. Forgive, we got to forgive Joe. Forgive let me stop. You sounded good, man. You sounded good. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, I know. A needle pulling thread.
Right. Yeah.
All right. We talked about becoming unstuck. We've talked about how unforgiveness can be relational. And really, at the core of the matter is unforgiveness is a trick or a tool of the devil.
Yeah.
Because if he can keep you in that unforgiveness grip, then he knows that he's got the upper hand in that particular relationship.
You know, something just popped in my mind, and I'm going to share it.
With the Cisco kid?
No, not that.
Oh, man. Going back on.
He's on the War album.
He is. He got it right in front of him, Joe. I love that, man. That is awesome.
So early on when Kim and I were in our marriage, we went through counseling and we took some classes. Okay. And so I'm going to shout out to Reverend Clarence Eldridge. I'm going to give him a shout out for this.
Okay. But
he was describing resentment and how it festers into something more dangerous in our lives. And so he used the analogy of you have a wound on your hand, right? And so that wound eventually could develop a scab to cover the wound.
Mm-hmm,
but underneath that scab, because the wound never really healed, it's festering disease. It's festering all of this, whatever happens in a wound, it doesn't, you know, pus and all of this other stuff, this nastiness that goes on underneath the scab.
Okay.
So he said, if you don't address it, if you don't peel that scab off and treat the wound the way it's supposed to be treated to help it heal, eventually all of that poison that's developing in that wound will get into your bloodstream.
Wow.
And then that will spread throughout your body and it will cause disease in your whole entire body. And then eventually it will kill you.
Right, right.
It could kill you physically. It could kill you spiritually. It could kill you emotionally.
Right.
So that resentment, we have to peel the scab off of that thing and allow it to heal properly so that it doesn't spread throughout our entire body. And that analogy was so powerful at the time.
Yeah, it is.
And I didn't do it justice because, you know, of course he came up with it, but it's so powerful because it talks about how we can hold on to that unforgiveness and then it can spread into something else. Like Boone was, Rush, you had mentioned all of those things that can happen as a result of it, like the stress and the high blood pressure and the pain, arthritis.
Right.
You know, I'm walking around here with arthritis in my knees and hips.
Right.
And I know that it's some unforgiveness.
Come on, dude.
Somewhere.
Come on, dude.
I was trying to get rid of it.
Come on, man.
And y'all know.
Do the surgery. Know, right.
Gotta open up that wound.
Come on, Joe. Do some surgery, man.
Yes,
do some. That's a great analogy, man. I again, going back to what we have to do, being self-reflective, man. We got to do surgery on ourselves, man. And you know, I actually Googled something, man, because I believe that God is a God of simplicity. I do believe that. And I looked up this website, you know, what would Jesus do in terms of forgiveness? And it came up with these three things. Now this is, I can tell you that the Spirit led me to this. And I believe that what I read is spiritual in nature, but it says, and I'm going to read it. It says what Christ would say in terms of forgiveness: sympathize with the offender, right? Two, relinquish it to God. That's what we're talking about, right? Doing the surgery. And three, anticipate the Father's help. So I think we can do that surgery, as I just said, but I do believe with God's help, and I believe that's the only way it can truly be eradicated from our spirits. But I like what it says, anticipate God's help. So
yeah, I like that. Anyway,
Yes. Because there's certain things, certain matters that are matters of the heart. Mm-hmm. And only God can do with the heart. We can't manipulate heart issues. Only God can deal with someone's heart.
Yeah, man.
Great point.
Proverbs 21:1.
Oh, come on.
Says, what it says.
What does it say? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and like the rivers of water, mm-hmm. he turns it whichever way he wishes.
That's powerful. And yes, that anticipating the help of the Father is so powerful, man, because
that is, man. When,
if you anticipate it,
right,
you know that it's coming.
It's coming.
So if you know that it's coming, then right. you can rest assured that it's going to be taken care of. So you don't have to carry that luggage, like you mentioned before. We don't have to carry that baggage around. Get that monkey off your back, that backpack that you're carrying around with all that unforgiveness. Just get that off your back. Oh, man. Because if you don't get rid of that backpack, it may be an explosive situation that you're carrying around with you, right?
Yes, sir.
And if that thing blows, you don't know when it's going to blow or who's going to be damaged at the time when you, man.
Boy, that's why I told y'all it took me a year, but make no mistake, I was saying to myself during that year, man, you got to release it. Like, you can't be carrying this around. It's too much weight. Like, it's like you were just saying, Joe, like I'm carrying a backpack around trying to, you know, trying to be prideful. Like, man, I ain't forgiving that. You know what I mean? Cause you want to hold on to it. Right. But you're just killing yourself, man. At least I was killing myself. And I thank God for, the 12 months. I wish I could have done it in 12 days, but you know, that's just not, wasn't the reality. But I say all that to say, you know, we have to do that. We have to unload that through personal recognition of our inabilities.
Yeah. It's a process, remember.
Yeah, it's a process. Yes, sir.
I mean, you wanted it done in 12 days. Just imagine or reflect on what God did in those 12 months for you, you.
Great point.
The molding, the shaping. Mm. He's the potter. You're the clay. Mm. Imagine what happened or reflect on what happened during that 12-month period.
Absolutely. Got stronger. Yep.
And you know what also is powerful about that, Russell?
What's that, man?
Is that you actually went to God about it.
Yes, sir.
You prayed about it.
Yes, sir.
You know, because there's so many, you could have turned so many different directions as a result of that. You could have turned to alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
You could have turned to drugs.
Yeah.
You could have turned to fornication.
Yeah. Amen.
Porn.
Yeah.
So many things that you could have chosen outside of God to relieve you of that stress and that anger. And it's powerful that you decided to choose him, because not only should we anticipate him helping us, but shouldn't he be able to anticipate that we're going to come to him rather than trying to figure it out on our own?
Man,
how much can
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. I'm listening though.
So how much weight can he put into us actually coming to him? You know, for us who know about the story of Job,
right?
The devil came and asked for to be able to tempt him, and God said, "Go right ahead," because I know my man Job, and I know he won't turn away from me.
Right.
Can he say that about Russell? Can he say that about Joe? Can he say that about Boone?
Mm. Mm.
Amen.
Great question. Amen. No, great question, man. That's You know, that's a great question. I am thankful that that I did listen, but you know, to your earlier point, like, can he count on me consistently to come to him?
Yeah,
consistently. That's the battle right there. Consistently come to him.
Yep. And I'll answer that for Joseph. I'll say no. He cannot count on me consistently to come to him. But it's a process. Like
it is a process.
So I get better and better at it.
Yeah.
Time, but I cannot honestly sit here and say that every time I have an issue come up, that I go straight to God about it. I walk in my flesh, and sometimes I walk in my flesh for days, weeks, or months.
Right.
Before I go to him. But eventually he's going to get the glory out of it. But it may take me, like you said, Russ, 12 months.
12 months, yeah. Yeah, that's like
you said. But God's not garnered by time. So, you know, 12 months to him.
How about that? How about that, man? Shit, that could be a second. Guy looking at me, said, yeah, it took you 12 months, but that was a second of my time. So you know, he could be saying, you're good. I'm just glad you took a second. So
but he anticipated.
Yeah.
He sat down with the enemy and said, nah, my man Russ, he's coming to me. So, you know, go ahead. You can challenge him with this. I know where he's going. He's coming.
Yeah.
He's coming right here.
Yes.
And Lord Jesus.
I'm going to read the scriptures, a couple of scriptures that came to mind. Cause you know, I mean, there's so much in the Bible about forgiveness, man, but I'm going to read Isaiah 43:25. It says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. And, you know, and I know we talked about this, man, but being able to forgive, man, I think, you know, we're talking about forgiving people, forgiving, you know, those who transgress, but we also got to forgive ourselves, man. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I appreciate y'all brothers, man. I know I've heard you say a couple of times, Joe, I said, Russ, man, don't beat yourself up. Cause I do have a hard time forgiving myself sometimes, man, when I make a mistake or I transgress against somebody, man. And that's one of my many faults. But, you know, I think we also have to take that time to forgive ourselves for our imperfections.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's key, forgiving ourselves. And that could be the most difficult person for us to experience that forgiveness.
Yeah.
Ourselves.
Yeah, man.
And, you know, keeping with my little war thing for some reason, you know, if you don't, I don't know why, but if you don't do that,
yeah.
Oh, okay, that's cool. If you just messed up the flow. If you don't do that, you're going to continue slipping into darkness, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Slipping into
darkness. Yeah. Man. Good gracious. Slipping in the darkness. That's a good one right there.
Yeah, man.
Great song and great theme. Yep. Do not want to slip into darkness.
Yeah, because what is darkness but absence of light? And then light.
Come on, Deep.
Look, Pastor T.D. Jakes talked about that at one of our revivals. He said, darkness is the absence of light. So as soon as light appears in the room, darkness has to flee.
Yes, sir.
So therefore, we need to look for that light, no matter what.
No matter what.
Look for that light. And where do we find the light?
Come on. There's only one place.
Only one place I know of.
Only one place I know of.
That's consistent.
Yep. That's consistent.
True.
That's true. All-knowing.
Only one place.
Only one place.
So now we've talked about all of the detriment that comes with unforgiveness.
Yep.
What are some of the benefits of forgiveness? I know we've touched on a few things, but
yeah,
some of those benefits.
Lower blood pressure. Lower blood pressure.
Yes.
Lower stress level.
Uh-huh. Yes. Healthier relationships.
That's right.
Oh, better self-esteem.
Okay.
Better self-esteem. In other words, definitely better self-esteem, because once you forgive that person, because self-esteem can be tied into, I'm thinking like a parent who, you know, I guess, you know, it'll help you in that level of having better self-esteem about yourself for sure.
Improve your sex life.
Hey. Woo, man.
And that right there.
Yeah, why don't we stay right there for a hot? No.
That right there.
That's a good one.
That's enough to say right there. Baby, can you please forgive me?
Yeah, can you please forgive me?
But not just for that. I transgressed there for a minute. So we don't ask for forgiveness.
No.
Back in the good graces. And
right. Right.
We're talking about a benefit that comes.
It's a benefit. It's a benefit.
Real, yes.
No, that's a real benefit. No,
that's a real benefit.
Yeah, man.
Restored relationships.
Yes, sir.
You know, so many relationships have been destroyed over unforgiveness.
Unforgiveness.
And resentment and grudges and things like that. So being able to get back to a restored relationship, especially, you know, just think using you and your dad as an analogy. What if in that 20 years, that resentment led you to not have any conversation with him, that you just decided, you know, I don't want to be bothered with you, old man.
Yeah.
Just think about that.
That happens. Happens a lot.
And how much time has lost? How many good conversations that you've had over the years that you wouldn't have been able to have?
Yeah.
All because of something that you held on to that really you didn't understand.
Right.
You didn't understand why it happened. You didn't understand what was behind all of it. You didn't understand it. It was forgiven back then.
Yeah.
Not only that, but what if the Lord had called your dad home?
Right.
He would have gone to be with the Lord without knowing that what he did offended you.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, that's big. That's big. And even if us, you know, I know the credits are going to roll, man, but as I bring it home personally, you know, talking about my most recent battle in that area, I'm drawn to Proverbs 17:9, and it says, and this is, we all know love covers everything. It says, love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends. You know, I'm a close out on that, because that just came to me, and I'm going to thank the Holy Spirit for that, man, because that's real. But love covers it all, right? And I only know one place you can get unconditional, complete love.
Right.
And that's from the Creator.
Yeah.
So
because his love is the reason why he's able to forgive us of our transgressions.
Come on. Man.
And without that, you know, where would we be?
I don't know. I ask that question all the time. Where would we be without forgiveness?
That's another song. It's a gospel song, but it's, where would we be without the love that Jesus has for us, man?
Man, don't get no better than that, man.
Yeah.
It don't get no better. That's good.
Yeah, so the credits are rolling.
Sing a phrase, boom, sing.
No, I don't think the three of us could take another one of us singing, so that's okay. All right, so if you have any other questions, if you have any feedback, we certainly like to hear from you. Contact us at info.insidethearmor@gmail.com. info.insidethearmor@gmail.com. Peace.
Why can't we be friends?
Peace.